Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, the 7th of February, 2012. Hope you're having a good day. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host on the Buckmaster Show. We are on The Voice, KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners in Globe, listening to us on KJAA AM 1240, and in Douglas, serving Cochise County at KAPR AM 930. We're glad you're along. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Also, three places where you can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world: buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday over the noon hour, noon to one. We get things rolling this Tuesday afternoon with a newsmaker interview with State Representative Vic Williams, one of four Republican candidates for Pima County Supervisor in District 1, where there will be a vacant seat with the retirement of Supervisor Ann Day. 20 minutes past the hour, it's the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. He's got a smile on his face. That means the market is up. Maybe not that much, but his smile is still the same. 30 minutes past the hour, New York Times bestselling writer J.A. Jantz joins us in studio. We'll talk about her latest mystery thriller. 45 minutes past the hour, the bi-monthly arts report with Margaret Regan, the arts editor of the Tucson Weekly and the Buckmaster Show contributor on the arts. We encourage you to be a part of the conversation. You can call us on our Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. If you have a story idea or a particular guest that you would like to hear interviewed, please let us know. We begin now at 12:06 with Representative Vic Williams. Representative Williams, one of four Republican candidates for Pima County Supervisor in District 1. Vic Williams is in his second four-year term from District 26. Representative Williams, thanks for being with us.
Bill, thank you for having me on your show again. It's always a pleasure to talk with you and your listeners on the air.
Thanks a lot. Why are you running for Pima County Supervisor, Representative?
Well, as chairman of the Transportation Committee for the House of Representatives and the legislature, Bill, I'd much rather come back down to Pima County and fix potholes than have to vote for another birther bill up at the Capitol.
What's at the top of your agenda on your issue list?
Well, you know, I will say this. The experience that I'm gathering and gaining in transportation is something that I hope that I can transfer down to Southern Arizona. Southern Arizona, probably one of the biggest things that faces us at this time is our highway infrastructure. That's going to be a huge issue. As well, dealing with government transparency and accountability in Pima County will be another point of on my agenda.
I have to tell you, and perhaps you heard that we had Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. He was our guest here on the Buckmaster Show Friday, and he said that this effort that is underway in Phoenix, the Republican lawmakers from Southern Arizona, yourself included, proposing this new authority that would give Marana, Oro Valley, Sahuarita together veto power over new borrowing for roads and other projects in Pima County. Mr. Huckleberry says if that were to pass, that will be the end of bonding as we know it in Pima County. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I'm sure it'll be the end of the Pima County government having the type of authority that it has and using the bonding and the redistribution of the bond money as a political lever in Pima County. I think what people are asking for and what we hear from our constituents is that you're seeing a heavy-handed approach from local government. Earlier today, I met with an owner of a half a dozen stores, fast food restaurants in Pima County, some in Oro Valley, some in Marana. And quite frankly, speaking with him over a course of a conversation, he's perfectly comfortable with his stores in the incorporated areas of Oro Valley and Marana. But dealing with the heavy-handedness of local government in the Pima County aspect is the problem. Pima County has been using the bonding authority that they have as a political tool for a long time, and that can go into the permitting process that you're seeing with Rosemont Mine and many other different aspects of our regulatory process here in Southern Arizona.
We had an email question from Bob. I won't use his last name for you, Representative Williams. It's about that situation with the bonding. And Bob sees that as an attack on Pima County, and he asks, how can you undermine the authority of the board that you might be seated on?
Well, I'm not here to undermine the board. What I am is to make sure that we have a fair and equitable bonding process. And I'm not running for county supervisor to ascertain more power, but to ensure that we have effective and that we have transparent government in Southern Arizona. And I'm going to just elaborate a little bit more on that. I can tell you the amount of secrecy, the curtains that are drawn on Pima County government as I see it, from someone who serves in the Arizona legislature, is very difficult to deal with. And as we have tried to develop our HRF language and deal with PAG and our RTA in Southern Arizona, some of the interference that we have to run with those who run the county is problematic. So our ability to communicate with mid-level bureaucrats to get good language derived is a problem. So some of the people that are currently running the county are the problem. I don't think it's the state legislature, and certainly not the Southern Arizona delegation that are pro-business, pro-economic development, and want to see reform and transparency to this county government.
We're speaking with Representative Vic Williams, candidate, Republican candidate for Pima County Supervisor in District 1. Let's go to Jason on the Buckmaster Show live line. You're with Representative Williams. Go ahead, Jason.
Hello, good afternoon.
Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, my name is Jason. I'm from the Tucson Police Officers Association, and I know you guys are talking about the bonding process. I was hoping that that Vic could give us an update on what's going on with several union bills that are moving through the legislature. We at the Police Officers Association have been working with Vic on some language that would talk specifically about public safety employees throughout the state of Arizona, and I was hoping he could share any updates with us.
Thank you, Jason.
Every voter in the state should be aware of SB bills, Senate bills 1484, 85, 86, and 87. They're kind of dubbed anti-union bills. And first off, I have to say that I will oppose these bills if they come to the Arizona House of Representatives and if they're unamended. And they need to be amended to make sure that our public safety personnel, our first responders, are not negatively impacted. And that's something that we'll fight for. And also, I need to mention that, look, in the state of Arizona, we are a right-to-work state. And really, the reform, in my opinion, towards public employee unions needs to be towards merit selection and not eliminating the unions as they stand today. Because we are a right-to-work state. We already have, let's say, crossed that Rubicon in having efficiency.
Representative Williams, getting back to Mr. Huckleberry, if you were elected, would you vote to terminate Mr. Huckleberry?
Well, let's put it this way. First off, let's see who's going to run in Sharon Bronson's district if she has either a primary challenge or a general election challenge. And I can say this. You know, first off, if you're on the board of supervisors, the most important thing that anyone has to do is learn how to count to three. And who are going to be your three votes if you're going to make a change in management on the administration level? I can say this. When elected, I'll be 49 years old, and I'd like to serve at least two terms on the Board of Supervisors to see a direction change in Southern Arizona, more pro-economic development, good highway infrastructures like we have up in Northwest. But in order to do that, you have to have three votes. And I'm not saying that here to fire anyone. I think that's an inappropriate dialogue, inappropriate discussion. But if I had two other members and myself, regardless of party affiliation, I'm sure I'd like to see my own brand and our brand in the new direction that we go in Pima County.
All right, Representative Vic Williams, let's see if we can get at least two more calls in for you. We're going to go to Jeff next on the Buckmaster Show live line. Jeff, you are up next with us, and he wants to talk about upcoming debates. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I was curious what kind of debates are coming up for the County Board of Supervisors so we could hear more how you compare with others.
Thanks, Jeff. Bill, let me address that. I'm anxious to have a series of debates. Now, right now, we're doing the work up in the Capitol. We're going to balance the budget. We're going to push through some legislation to see some reform in tort and possibly worker comp insurance and also get some highway funding back to southern Arizona. But I hope that we have the opportunity for a series of elongated debates, not some of these debates that happened in the last election cycle where you have 20-second answers for very complicated questions. I hope that the other three candidates will join me in at least 4 or 5 debates where we allow 2 to 3 minutes, maybe even up to 5 minutes, to answer those questions about Chuck Huckleberry, the permitting process that the county is using or abusing, should I say, when it comes to Rosemont Copper, or how the highway monies and the RTA and county involvement through their county works program is being used, so we can really peel back the layers of the onion, allow the voters to really understand who they're voting for and who's qualified and willing to make those tough choices as their county supervisor.
Let's see if we can get, is it Harold? Let's see if we can get Harold in here before the break. Go ahead, Harold.
Hi, Vic. I got a real quick question. In order to balance the budget, I know the legislature had to take some money out of the highway fund. Are there any plans to replace it so we can repair our highways?
Yeah, Harold, let me kind of answer that more towards the dialogue towards county supervisor. We want to focus in on that, but, you know, one, we need to reestablish those HERF dollars, $1.5 billion swept away from the state of Arizona highway systems. That goes to state highways, it goes to counties, it goes to cities and towns. We want to try to recognize that $1.5 billion as the overall debt of the state. Currently, we have $9.6 billion in debt. We want to add that $1.5 billion that was swept from highways. And we want to get that back into the local systems. But once we get those back, and if we're successful in accomplishing that kind of reform at the Capitol, I, as chairman of transportation, hope to take that type of effort down to county government and get transparency and accountability in the Pima County Transportation Department. Recently, there was an article published by the Arizona Daily Star, comments about Chuck Huckleberry, saying that health sweeps have happened at the state level. Well, yeah, we understand that, but that's kind of like the pot calling the kettle black, because there needs to be some accountability and there needs to be some insight as to what's going on in Pima County roads and development to make sure that we start filling potholes down here and start building our roads out as we need in southern Arizona. That's the big Achilles heel, in my opinion, of the region is our transportation issues.
Okay. Representative Vic Williams, one of 4 Republican candidates for Pima County Supervisor in District 1. Representative Williams, good to talk with you. Thank you for being with us on the Buckmaster Show.
Bill, thank you. Can I give my website out, please?
Go ahead.
It's voteforvic.com. That's V-I-C, the number 4, V-O-T-E, 4 VIC.com. VoteForVic.com. Please engage me. I hope you'll sign up for my emails. I'd like to hear from you, and looking forward to a spirited campaign and debating these other candidates and bringing reality to this table.
Have a great afternoon. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is, the man himself, seated with me in studio, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how are you today?
Bill, I'm well. I'm smiling.
You are smiling. That means the market must be up. It started off a little bit down, but, you know, we're not seeing the big fluctuations that we had seen at the end of the closing year.
Yeah, the volatility so far this, in January and the first week of February has been much diminished. That's a good thing. I don't think it's here to stay. But anytime we can get calmness or relative calmness and people can invest based upon the merits of their investment rather than, you know, the panic of what went on the news that morning, it's a good thing.
One of the financial advisors for the USA Today was taking a question. Are stocks undervalued? Are stocks basically cheap right now?
How did he answer it?
Well, he kind of went around and around and talked about price-earnings ratios and this and that. And
okay, so I'm about to go round and around and talk about price-earnings
so
ratios.
So maybe I can get a more definitive answer from you.
So the answer to the question is it depends. But the short answer is I don't think that stocks in general are cheap right now. Price-earnings ratios right now are about 14. Which means that the price is around, on average, let's say with the S&P 500, is about 14 times what the earnings are. The question is, what does that mean?
Yes, that was my next question.
And what it means is a measure of what people or investors are willing to pay as a multiple of earnings for a stock. Remember, the classic way that stocks get valued is by taking the present value out to infinity of all of the cash flows that might come from that stock, and that's how the stock is valued. Now, that's what the academics say. You know, that's what the textbook says. Of course, nobody does it that way. but you know, theoretically, that's the way you value a stock. What really goes on is, what multiple am I willing to pay for a stock? And that has to do with perceptions. It has to do with my general feeling about the market and where the economy is going, where the world economy is going. So at today's prices, we have seen higher prices, and we've seen higher price to earnings sustained for periods of time. We haven't seen that recently. So I think stocks are right now about an equilibrium, which and thus my prediction that we're going to see not a flat year, but a moderately up year in equities. And so any individual stock might be undervalued or overvalued based upon fundamental analysis of that company. But stocks in general, I think, are at an equilibrium point, and it is going to take two things: the fundamentals of where their markets and their industries, et cetera, are going, and also stability in the world.
So the market is back to a level that right after the 2008, close to the level of where we were.
Yeah, you
so
know, it's in taken 2007, we got a peak for a couple of days, like around 14,000.
So it's taken 3 years, pretty much, to get back to that.
Which is not unusual after a recession, especially a deep recession. The recovery, even though this was a very, very deep recession, especially as it affected the markets, I mean, we had 60% erosion on one day in May, in March, rather, of 2009. But a three-year recovery period to get back to where you were is not, you know, necessarily unusual. The question is, what are the energies that are, you know, pushing the market forward right now, and what's standing in the way? And clearly, what's standing in the way are you know, slow growth throughout the rest of the world, the fear of slower growth in the emerging markets, and the fear of something that you can't predict, or if you can predict, it's kind of a known unknown. Thank you, Mr. Rumsfeld.
Mm-hmm. But some kind of foreign action, yeah, too.
Right, an invasion, affairs, an invasion, yeah, of Iran by Israel, yeah, or by Israel and the United States. Those kinds of things could snowball as, for instance, you get retribution from Iran, you get the problems in the Straits of Hormuz, you get the price of oil being affected by scarcity. So those kinds of things you can't know, but you can suspect that they're there.
As an investor, what can make us sleep better at night?
Well, you know,
what are the fundamentals that you tell your client, Shelley Fishman?
Well, what I tell my clients is that in the face of a very uncertain and very changing model for how stocks are going to be valued over the next couple of years, if we can get returns that are as rich in safer things, then we really ought to be doing that. And so when I take a look at bond markets, when I take a look at bond funds, when I take a look at, and bond funds come in several flavors, you know, municipal bonds, commercial bonds, government bonds, and I see the ability to get about the same kind of earnings or yield, as we say in bonds, from those kinds of investments with potentially less volatility, then I ask the question, why would I be in equities right now? Maybe to increase my upside a little bit, but if sleeping at night,
yes,
to go back to your,
yeah,
question, if sleeping at night is what's important to you, as it is to me, then I try to reduce volatility as much as possible.
And you had a pretty good year doing that.
We've had a pretty good three or four years doing that.
Through a very, very,
very
volatile,
difficult time. Yeah, my average portfolio last year, and this is bragging, and I'm going to do it anyway, was 16%.
Wow. 16% on average?
On average. Now, my average portfolio is very conservative. It's very bond heavy. I had some higher than that. But if I add January into the 2011 results at January, it came to closer to 20%.
Somebody wants to find out where to get a hold of you after
795-7950. I'm not promising that again, Bill.
I know.
But I'm simply saying that if you take a look at 2009, 2010, 2011, we were outperforming in bonds.
Shelley Fishman, have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LP Financial.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A federal appeals court has declared California's Proposition 8 unconstitutional. That ruling puts the law on track for likely consideration by the U.S. Supreme Court. Proposition 8 defines marriage as the union of one man and one woman only. The president's re-election campaign is urging top fundraisers to support an outside group that's backing the president's bid for a second term. In the past, Mr. Obama has opposed the so-called super PACs that can spend unlimited amounts of money. The extension of the payroll tax cut no longer looks as certain as it once did. Democrats and Republicans in Congress remain at odds over how to pay for the tax cut extension. Wall Street, the Dow up 27 points. The NASDAQ is ahead, too. The S&P 500 index, 2 points higher as well. More details at srnnews.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook. Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com.
On the Buckmaster Show. Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. This is a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. With legions of fans around the world, New York Times bestselling author J.A. Jantz has a new book, and those fans are really excited about. Really, today is the official release of Left 4 Dead, the latest installment in the Ollie Reynolds mystery series. Along with the Ollie series, J.A. Jantz is the author of the J.P. Beaumont series, the Joanna Brady series, and four interrelated Southwestern thrillers featuring the Walker family. And Judy Jantz joins us now in studio with me on the Buckmaster Show. Judy, how are you today?
I'm just fine. It's.
Hope you have some comfortable shoes on. You've got a lot of walking to do here.
It's
a lot of book tours.
It's day one of the book tour, and yes, I got a good night's sleep. I took my vitamins, and I'm ready to rumble.
Alley number 7.
Do you believe
it? My goodness. I mean, I can remember sitting around over dinner with you talking about the concept for Alley. Yeah, that's how long it's been. I mean, now we're at alley number 7.
And I'm working on alley number 8.
And who knows how many alleys there'll be, but I can tell you this, there have been quite a few Judy Jantz books, because this book is number
45, I believe. 44 or 45, I can't tell. It's in the mid-40s somewhere. Who's counting?
Tell me about alley number 7.
Well, people around here are going to be interested because a lot of the action takes place in and around Tucson. Last year when I was working on this book, I had the book had some scenes that took place at University Hospital. Well, everybody knows what went on at University Hospital last January.
Yes.
And it was too close to the bone. And so I created a brand new hospital and stuck it on a brand new empty lot. You know, I used my literary license.
Yeah, you can do that. I mean, it's in your mind. You can create it very easily, and you did.
So it's Physicians Medical. So if people in Tucson start looking around for Physicians Medical, don't bother. It's fiction.
This is about a Santa Cruz County deputy who is gunned down and left for dead. And, of course, the initial investigation, well, kind of ties it to drug smuggling.
Yes. And he is considered to be a dirty cop. And I guess I won't say anything more about that because I want people to read it. I would like to talk for a second about one of the characters in the book is Sister Anselm, who is a patient advocate, sort of a roving patient advocate who goes from hospital to hospital taking care of sort of standing in for family members when there are badly injured people who don't have anyone to intercede in the medical community for them. Sister Anselm, as a character, came out of a Europe Through the Back Door tour that my husband and I did of France 15 years ago.
Hmm.
We met a woman whose father was a German immigrant married to an American woman. He was working as a printer in a German language newspaper in Milwaukee when World War II broke out, and he was arrested as a German spy. He languished in a Wisconsin jail for a year before he was transported to Crystal City, Texas, to a relocation camp. And there he had developed TB. So his wife said, "Can I go down to Texas and take care of him?" And the Justice Department said, "Of course you can, but only if you give up your American citizenship and the citizenship for both your daughters." So she did that. Then on a ship where there was supposed to be an exchange of prisoners of war, the husband and father died. crossing the Atlantic, and the mother and her two daughters were dumped out in war-torn Europe without any resources and without any relatives. And so I heard her story, and it was sort of like a grain of sand that gets stuck under an oyster shell.
Right.
That story stuck with me, and that's where Sister Anselm's character came from. I used that woman's story to create Sister Anselm's background.
Judy Jantz is with us, the author of Left for Dead. J.A. Jantz will be, of course, at the upcoming Tucson Festival of Books, the fourth annual. You've been really involved with this festival since its inception, and it continues to grow and become one of the big festivals in the country.
Well, it's one of the big festivals, and as far as I can see, it's one of the best-run festivals. One of the things that I think is important is they really look out for their booksellers. A lot of festivals regard booksellers as sort of a necessary evil, and this festival really makes them full partners in the process, and I think that's terrific.
When did you know you wanted to be a writer?
Mrs. Spangler's second grade in Bisbee, Arizona. I read The Wizard of Oz. Some kids read The Wizard of Oz books and see the wizard behind the curtains. I saw Frank Baum standing behind the words, and I wanted to be that person. Now my idol, I've moved on from Frank Baum. Now my idol is my next-door neighbor on the bookshelves in bookstores, P.D. James. I want to be P.D. James when I grow up and still be writing and selling books in my 90s.
Well, there seems to be no end in sight because you are going very strong. And what about that beautiful animal that is waiting out in the lobby right now for you? What a cute little dog.
It is a cute little dog. The last thing I ever expected to have was a little dog. I'm sort of a golden retriever person, and people reading my books will notice that I often sneeringly refer to dogs of that size as wolves, wastes of fur. But a year ago in October, we found that dog running in the street. Somebody had abandoned her in the middle of a rainstorm in October in Seattle. I managed to chase her a mile and catch her. And now she's ours, and she is Bella, the book tour dog. When we got home with the dog, it was my daughter, my grandson, and me who came dragging in with this wet, shivering little dog. And Colt was trying to explain to Grandpa how we had found this cute little fella. And Grandpa said, "Colt, fella is a boy's name. This is a girl dog." And Colt said, "I know. We'll call her Bella." And Bella she is. Bella the book tour dog.
Very cute. And that book tour dog will be very busy. This is the beginning of a tour that's going to take you really all over the country. Do you learn a lot on these tours from your fans?
I meet fans and find out their stories. Yesterday, I went to a charter school primarily because the teachers had read aloud one of my books to their students, and then the students wrote me wrote letters to some of the characters. These are students. The book they read was the first Joanna Brady book, which was published in the early 90s, which is before most of these kids were born. Some of them sent Get Well in Desert Heat. Joanna Brady's husband and her daughter's father is gunned down by a drug cartel hitman. He's hospitalized and subsequently dies. So several of the kids wrote Get Well cards for Andy in the hospital. Mm-hmm. One young man cute. Wrote to Joanna and said, "If you need someone to take care of your dog, call me." But one young woman wrote to Jenny, and said, "Dear Jenny, I understand exactly how you feel because my father was murdered when I was 10.
Wow. J.A. Jantz, thank you very much. You will be signing, speaking about, and, well, you'll be very busy. The new book is Left for Dead this afternoon at 2 o'clock and at 3:30 at the Green Valley Library on La Canada Drive in Green Valley, the two seatings going on in Green Valley.
Because they turn people away. We now have two seatings because we know one seating won't work.
Well, and at 7 o'clock tonight, you'll be at Barnes & Noble on East Broadway in Tucson. Tomorrow, three appearances starting at noon at the Nanini Branch Library, North Shannon Road in Tucson. 5 p.m., you'll be signing at Costco on East Grant Road in Tucson. And then Judy visits Mostly Books on East Speedway at 7:30 tomorrow night. And finally, on Thursday, she drops by the Voyager RV Resort on South Cole Road. That'll be at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So you've got a busy couple of days and a couple of weeks ahead of you.
And there are Phoenix events coming up toward the end of the weekend, but people can find that either on my Facebook author page or under the schedule of my website, jajantz.com.
All right. Judy, good to see you. Thank you very much. Good luck.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot. Judy Jantz, J.A. Jantz, on the Buckmaster Show. Margaret Regan is next from the Tucson Weekly. She gives us the bi-monthly Buckmaster Show Arts Report. That's coming up. Stay with us on this Tuesday afternoon on Buckmaster.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Hi, Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock.
For what it's worth.
For what? What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook. With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. $12.50 now on the Buckmaster Show. Margaret Regan is with us. Margaret is the Tucson Weekly Arts Editor, and we are happy to have her with us on the Buckmaster Show as the Buckmaster Show Arts Contributor. And every other Tuesday, we have lots to talk about, and especially that is the case, Margaret. We've got the big centennial coming up.
Yes, we do. It's just a week away.
Valentine's Day.
That's right.
One week from today.
Arizona's 100th birthday, 100th anniversary of statehood.
It's kind of funny because, it's kind of sad originally because things were not really coming together for kind of centennial activities and celebrations, but things now really have taken off. Lots going on.
Yeah. I had the opportunity last week to go to a very interesting show at the University of Arizona Library Special Collections, which is kind of an adjacent space to the main library where they have wonderful treasures, especially in terms of manuscripts and documents. So it's a little tricky seeing a show drawn from those collections because a lot of it is things that you want to read.
Yeah.
But everything's in a glass case.
That special collections really has, as you say, some real treasures. And this show is called Becoming Arizona, the Valentine State.
Right. And what I liked about it was actually it wasn't about the 100 years of statehood. It was about the period preceding statehood. How did this come about? You know, what was the history before we became the 48th state in the Union? And I thought it was fascinating. I have to tell you, I was there for about 4 hours on two different days because I ended up reading everything. they had original maps of the Gadsden Purchase. As you know, that's when Southern Arizona joined the territory of the United States back in 1854. They had lots of travelers' diaries and accounts, and I became completely absorbed in them and trying to read them through the glass case.
Wyatt Earp's wedding ring?
Wyatt Earp's wedding ring, which doesn't belong to Special Collections. That belongs to the Arizona Historical Society. They also lent a beaded bag that had once belonged to Geronimo. So you get some sort of big names, big celebrity names, and then you also get these great letters by settlers that I never heard of before. One of them that was fascinating, he was recounting the coming of the railroad and how now we'll be connected to all creation. Very poetic. Because 1880, the railroad arrived in Arizona, and that's when everything changed.
Yeah, if you didn't have the railroad, you didn't have really anything in those days.
No, you were just totally isolated.
Suddenly the world opens up to
right.
you. Becoming Arizona, the Valentine State, that's 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday through May 30th, and that special collections is on campus. And we want to point out that Dr. Thomas Sheraton, UA anthropology professor and author of Arizona, a history as this revised edition. He'll be giving a free lecture a week from today, 7 o'clock in the evening.
Right, on the birthday, on Valentine's Day.
And he will be here as my guest at midday. Dr. Sheraton will be talking about his new revised edition. Then there's an exhibit downtown at the Valdez Main Library downtown, Wish You Were Here, Historic Tucson Postcard Prints.
Right. You know, Terry Etherton runs Etherton Gallery here, and he's a fan of all those old vintage postcards. And at some point a few years ago, he print it, you know, managed, you know, use some printing process to print the postcards on canvas. So opening on Saturday will be this charming little show of postcards all from the 30s, 40s, and 50s, you know, wish you were here in Tucson. So that'll be fun. And there's another show opening the same day, Nuestro Barrio, taking a different look at the 20th century in Tucson. These are photographs of the old barrios that were demolished during urban renewal in the 1960s, and they were taken from the Arizona Historical Society. And I'm glad to say that that's going to be a permanent exhibition in the library from now on. And a really interesting touch about those photos is that people who used to live in the barrio, the lost barrios, were invited to help select and curate the exhibition. So that was very nice.
And that's going to be at the main library. That's 101 North Stone. And Saturday there's a lot of family events getting underway at 11 a.m. Crafts for the kids, an Arizona birthday cake.
Mm-hmm.
Teens can contribute stories and personal items in a time capsule.
Yeah.
So that's going to be fun down at the main library. The symphony has an activity coming up, too, tying in with our centennial.
Right. They're doing a major concert tied into the centennial, and that will be Friday night and Sunday afternoon. The whole idea of the selections of the music is to represent the many different cultures that are Arizona, you know, the indigenous Native American cultures, the Hispanic and the Anglo, you know, kind of tracing that path of what led to us becoming Arizona. So they're going to have flutist.
They're performing, I think, one of the selections that they did on at their first concert. Is that correct? Back in January 13th, 1929,
The
orchestra played Beethoven's Symphony No. 7. Well, perhaps they won't be playing the Symphony No. 7. But
no, well, they did in another concert in January. Oh. They went back to Beethoven. But this one is going to represent these three cultures.
Oh,
so Beethoven,
okay,
being a European,
that
is not...
Sorry about that.
No, that
wouldn't work.
Yeah,
but anyway,
yeah.
It's great to see the symphony getting involved with the centennial. You can read all about Margaret's, for more details about what's going on with the arts and the centennial, in The Weekly, which will be available online tomorrow night, and most places you can pick up your hard copy on Thursday. How about dance? That's where you love covering dance events.
I do.
And anything going on in that
area?
Yes,
a very fun kind of Valentine's-themed concert this Friday night. New Articulations Dance Theater, which is one of our more adventurous small companies. They're doing a whole project this spring called Flow, and all the events are related to water. It's a very serious company. They're always trying to do dances that bring in members of the community and examine at the same time critical issues for us. So they're going to do a dance in the Santa Cruz River in April.
Wow.
And they're still raising money to do that. They're also sponsoring walks on the watershed. You can go with a naturalist to see different places, one in February, one in March.
I'm glad they're not doing that Santa Cruz River event in August.
No, that would be rough.
No, that
and
would.
I assume they'll do it in the evening, but we don't know yet. They're waiting for the dates to be approved by Pima County. But this Friday night, in order to raise money for these many interesting events, they're doing a jukebox show.
Hmm.
It's keyed into Valentine's Day, and they're taking dances that they've danced in the past and resetting them to old pop songs from the 50s and 60s. There was one dance that they did in their Emily Dickinson concert last fall, quite a serious dance to cello music, but it was about Emily Dickinson writing letters. Well, this time they're going to dance it to Please, Mr. Postman.
Oh, so that's 7:30 Friday.
Right, and that's at the Rhythm Industries downtown in the old warehouse neighborhood. A little tricky to find.
And we do want to put a plug in for all the downtown activities that are going on. You can get more information about the Tucson Centennial Celebration. Go to downtowntucson.org, because really there, Margaret, there's all sorts of events getting underway this weekend downtown. There's things going on at the Fox Theater and a full lineup of centennial events, so it should be kind of a swinging weekend.
Yeah,
in
a good
downtown
birthday party and celebration.
Yes, lots going on in downtown. So, Margaret Regan, we thank you very much. And folks can read more about what is coming up with these arts events, all the details in the Tucson Weekly. Margaret, good to see you.
Good
Thanks
to see you, Bill. Thank you.
Margaret Regan with us from the Tucson Weekly, talking about the arts activities connected with the centennial. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger and Associates Certified Public Accountants. It is the tax season, and, well, many of us need a CPA. And we strongly recommend that you check out Michael C. Flowers. He's our guy at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers and Rieger is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Coming up tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show, State Representative Matt Hines is going to be talking with us. Dr. Hines, a congressional candidate in that special CD8 election. We shall see if he stays in it if Ron Barber decides to become a candidate. That should be very interesting. Also, Mayor Rothschild will be with us on the Buckmaster Show previewing his State of the City address, which will be on Statehood Day, Valentine's Day. It's going to do it for Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.